Hi, I'm Eric Dahma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. As always, Bob, it's good to be with you here in studio, laden with walleye on the wall and talking about the scriptures.
Yeah, we are in September here, and nice weather outside, but we know it won't last.
Right. We've only got a few months more.
Yeah. The cold is going to come back, but it won't stop us from teaching the gospel, teaching the book of Galatians.
Yes.
And I hope our listeners continue to bear with us. We are taking Galatians and applying it.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people that would like just to slough it off because they don't want to change their theology.
Right.
But Galatians is for us today.
Yes.
It's not just from some far gone time when some Jews wanted to make the new Christians in the first century become circumcised.
Right.
And then we'll just, well, it's not for us. We won't even worry about it.
That's a very good point. Bob, by the way, with that, remind the audience about the concept of law works and why Paul calls it, or why you call it that way.
There's no definite article oftentimes in the New Testament when it uses the term.
Yep.
Although sometimes there is. And sometimes there's no definite article, you know, the law.
Yeah.
Sometimes the context shows that the law is meant.
Sure.
Even though there's no definite article.
Yep.
But I think in Romans and in also in Galatians, Paul at times purposely doesn't use the definite article. And I like Leon Morris. This is where I got the phrase law works.
Yeah.
This is also applying not just to the law.
Right.
Although that's certainly an issue. But law works. In other words, if someone comes up with their own scheme of law and demand works in keeping with the law they came up with, is still what's being discussed in Galatians and Romans.
Exactly right. That's well said. Yeah.
Yeah, and so law works, whatever they might be, that we think are going to make us pleasing to God, is false.
Exactly. So now last week we had given another example. So what we did
Sabbath
is
keeping.
Sabbath keeping, exactly. So the listener can come up with all sorts of different examples.
Well, there's no end to the imagination of religious leaders.
Right.
Okay, well, of what people need to do to be right with God.
So if we get into law works, if we add that now to our salvation through Christ alone.
That's the leaven.
That's the leaven that's leavening the whole lump.
And yeah, that's last week, Galatians 5:9.
Sure, now we go into verse 10. And Paul says, I have confidence in you, of course, the Galatian Christians, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is.
Yeah, so there are some agitators that Paul is very harsh with, who were causing trouble, or maybe a ringleader, who was pushing for this thing, in which case was to get these Gentile Christians to be circumcised.
Right.
That was an issue throughout Galatians.
Right. Now, Bob, you know, he says here that he's confident, obviously, that they will adopt no other view. And that's important because, you know, here Paul continuously calls them brethren. He refers to them by affectionate terms that you would call other Christians. So he expects
He calls them brothers,
Exactly. He expects them to repent and to turn from these Judaizers, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And it's interesting how you read throughout Galatians, he's so harsh.
Yeah.
Paul is with these, who seduced you, who bewitched you.
This is the harshest one.
And he used terms right from Exodus about the golden calf. Depart, you so quickly depart from or abandon the one who called you.
Wow.
And the terminology comes right out of the Septuagint of Exodus.
Yeah.
And his rebuke of Peter. And it wasn't just circumcision, or we've talked about Sabbath here last week. There was food laws and eating that were disputed.
Right.
Remember, Peter and the other Jewish Christians weren't going to eat with the Gentile Christians?
Yes, yes.
So they're being excluded from table fellowship?
Right.
Okay. This leaven will infect everything.
Yeah.
And one by one by one, they go back eventually to Moses. Hmm. And you got the food laws, you got Sabbath, and you have circumcision. Those were the three biggies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I studied some of this at seminary and took classes that would cover just the relationship between Christianity and Judaism, especially in the first century,
I read
books on that.
Yeah,
the thing that kept the Jews separated were those three, food laws, circumcision, Sabbath keeping.
Yeah,
and it caused eccentricity in the Jews, for a purpose.
Right.
Okay, God had a purpose to make the Jews eccentric so they wouldn't intermingle with all the other peoples and lose their identity. And the messianic promises that were given to Abraham ultimately would fail.
Right, great point. So now the Messiah is here.
Yeah, and so the exclusivity, the eccentricity, the walls that were, made it impossible to intermingle, brought them to Christ because they were still the same people.
Right.
Okay, now, here's what I want our dear beloved brothers and sisters to think about and remember.
Yeah.
If God wanted Christianity to be the same kind of separatist religion, all he would have had to do was keep those three things in force.
Great point.
Okay,
he doesn't.
So if God says, okay, Sabbath keeping, food laws, circumcision still apply.
Yep.
If you're going to be a Christian, which is what these Judaizers wanted.
Right, then we're going to be separatists.
And they didn't get their way in Acts 15. That would have made Christianity separated like the Jews were, and the gospel wouldn't have gone and penetrated into every nook and cranny of where humans are and associate with one another. God wants the gospel to penetrate the entire world.
Wow.
And if people in some place somewhere are only free to gather on Wednesday because that's the way their society is,
that's right.
They can meet them.
That's right.
Because God took away circumcision, food laws, Sabbath keeping, so that Christianity would be free to all, and needless barriers are torn down, and the dividing wall, Ephesians 2, is torn down.
Right, right.
Okay.
So let's say we get into a situation in a local church where we start getting into legalism and we're starting to demand people do things that are not demanded by Christ or his apostles, what we're really doing then is we're building that wall.
We're putting up walls.
That very wall that
was torn
down. We're
putting up walls that God didn't put up.
Yes.
Now, we're to come out from among them and be separate. We're not to sin with the sinners.
Right, right.
As the Corinthians wanted to go down to the pagan love feast, and Paul said, no.
Right.
You're communing with demons.
Right, right.
But we're not to also go back to Judaism and have the food laws, Sabbath, circumcision, because then we're making up needless barriers.
Wow, well
said. Okay, there are needful barriers, and there's needless ones.
That's beautiful. So the needful barriers are given to us by Christ and his apostles.
Yeah, more the moral law of God.
Yes, and that's what Paul's referring to when he says in 1 Corinthians 9, look, he says, I'm not under the law, although he says, I am under the law of Christ. That's what
exactly
he's referring to.
Now, we would point out those barriers. Every day I drive by this Catholic church here. For example, I live in St. Louis Park, Minnesota.
Right.
There's a prospering Catholic church with a school right across from the church. I've noticed lately, every morning the parking lot is full. In the morning.
Right.
There's constant activity. The cars are parked all over.
Yeah.
That church is just packed.
Yeah.
Because we live in a mystical milieu. We are in a time where people want the magical mystery tour of religion. and the pomp and circumstance and the incense and the smells and
right.
the sounds and the arched ceiling, all that wonderful stuff. Whether it means anything, they're not necessarily concerned about that.
Right.
They want
right.
to be religious. Okay, and there's contemplative prayer.
Yeah.
There's denials of sola scriptura through, like, Jesus calling. Yeah. I wrote an article about that.
Yeah.
There's all this mysticism and neo-paganism and prayer labyrinth. And we stood against all of that.
Yeah.
Because this is a violation of the teaching of Christ and his apostles.
Amen.
Okay? Inasmuch as Paul told the Corinthians not to go down to the pagan celebration,
right, right.
the love feast of that's the right. pagans, the yeah. communion with demons, that's what's going on with this mysticism.
Exactly.
It's right. as if we didn't have the words of Christ and his apostles here.
Right.
Or the yeah. gospel. Okay, so we're not just saying, well, liberalism.
Right.
But we need to separate biblically along biblical lines, which won't really put up walls to people to come and hear and believe the gospel.
Exactly right.
The word of God is taught to everyone.
Yes.
Okay, so if, as I said, God wanted Christianity to be the same kind of separatist religion as Judaism,
yeah.
all we need, circumcision, food laws, Sabbath keeping.
Right. Now, and how sad is it that when we have some congregations doing that very thing, whether they call themselves Messianic congregations or a Reformed one who makes Sabbath an issue, we're doing the same thing.
They
we're
become building not evangelistic.
Yeah.
That's right. the problem.
Needlessly separatist.
You become not evangelistic.
That's right.
Cloistered.
Yeah.
Needlessly yeah. so.
Right.
Whereas the ones whose primary concern is Christ and his gospel, I would hope, would be very evangelistic.
Right. right.
And our good news isn't come and keep the law. We're going to beat you until you do.
Right, amen. That's well said, Bob. And by the
way, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you. The yoke they already had, the yoke of the law.
You know, I just want to catch myself, too. As I mentioned Reformed traditions and some Messianic congregations, I know I'm not, and I know you're not, impugning that or saying all of them somehow violate these things. Some of them do get it right, where they'll say, look, Sabbath is an issue of finding our Sabbath rest in Christ. But it would be more of a
that's,
sadly
that's
a minority.
That's the key right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you have the universal call.
Yep.
And
yep.
you have the gospel, and you have Christ. I would just say to our friends, whatever, I mean, I'm sure we have Lutheran
yeah.
listeners or Reformed listeners or yeah, charismatic listeners, whatever, whoever we are, we're affirming the solas.
Yes.
Let's go over that again. So, and think about that, because those are essential.
Yeah.
And I believe they're very biblical. It yeah. isn't just because it's of the Reformation.
Right.
Although it certainly distinguishes us from Roman Catholicism.
Right, right.
It's the alones where we have the problem with them.
Yeah.
Christ alone, Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, to the glory of God alone.
Wow, yes.
Now, if you're teaching to a Roman Catholic group,
yeah.
and you say, well, the Scriptures and Christ and grace and faith
yeah.
and God's glory, yes, great, we believe in all of that.
right, and so then you got to define.
But when you say alone, 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 right. alone five times,
yep.
you go up according to the Council of Trent, anathema.
Yes, cursed of hell.
Yeah, may you go to hell for saying that.
Wow.
You can have grace and faith and so on, but just don't say alone.
That's right.
Because then you're ruling out all of our processes that we have invented and all of our innovations.
Right.
And the Pope and the Mass and, you know, all of these things that we feel like we got to do.
Yeah.
You just rule those out.
Right. Now, the foundational principle, really, of the Reformation is Scripture alone.
Yeah, and that's the formal principle.
It really is, isn't it? Now, it's interesting here, that's still the issue, because at the end of the day, if Christ and his apostles are the ones who define what things actually separate us and what things shouldn't separate us, I'm saying us from the regular world, those are the legitimate lawgivers under the New Covenant, and then we should rightly listen to them, but we shouldn't be making it up on our own.
No, we can't go beyond just scripture. Free-floating, freelance,
exactly,
spiritual teachers.
Right, right, exactly.
Because we're spending almost all of our time expounding scripture.
So my point then is, let's say you and I, Bob, we go after a Reformed theologian who says, you know what, Sabbath is on Sunday and you better keep it.
And you got to keep it along the lines of the Jews.
Now the issue is scripture alone.
Yeah, it doesn't teach that. It
doesn't teach it, right? So it's a sola issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an issue of scripture alone.
Yes.
It is a sola issue.
Yes, amen. Okay. So then we're being
and
more reformed.
And it's also an issue of Christ alone.
Yes.
Because Christ said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Right, right, right.
Okay, and so we won't back down on the solas.
Amen. And so my whole point in saying this is, if there is a Reformed listener out there, I just want you to think about this. You haven't Reformed far enough if you hold on to Sabbath keeping.
No.
You haven't Reformed far
enough.
Because
the Scriptures don't teach it.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Nor do the Scriptures teach that circumcision is infant baptism, which it doesn't even teach infant baptism, much less that it's the new circumcision.
Well said. And you'll
okay,
be hitting that.
If that makes me not reformable, then they can think I'm not reformed, but I'm dealing with this from the perspective of the solas.
Yes, yes. Great point.
Okay. And so if we reject the solas, I believe the formal principle is essential.
Yeah.
Scripture alone. And I do believe, and we can prove from Scripture, which we do with everything we're doing here, that Scripture does teach Christ alone.
Yes.
There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Acts 4:12, amen.
Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Yes.
We're not making this up.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
This is Scripture.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's your formal principle, and then faith alone.
Yeah.
Is the key conclusion you come to from Ephesians 2, which I believe a lot of people would agree with us on,
that is
faith alone.
Right.
Okay. And then grace alone.
Yeah.
Is a cousin, or not a cousin, but a brother to that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's by grace that we even have faith.
Amen.
Because faith is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And then because all of this is of God, he gets all the glory.
That's right. You know, Bob, the reason I'm just hitting on this is I want listeners who are out there who are Reformed to say, look, I want you to be challenged by this, to say we're not attacking Reformed theology just en masse because we hold to some of the doctrines, but what we're saying is, let's take, for instance, amillennialism or preterism. I had hit that last week or a couple weeks ago. Preterism, ironically, is a doctrine that many Reformed hold to, which teaches that all of the events in prophecy almost are fulfilled in 70 AD. Well, ironically, that was a response by Catholics to Reformers who were claiming that in Revelation the Antichrist was the Pope.
Yeah, well, actually, Luther said that.
Yeah, exactly. So
he set himself up in a temple. This is how Luther's argument.
Yeah, yeah.
It says the Antichrist sets himself up as in the temples. And so who's done that? The church is the temple of God, and the Pope set himself up in it.
Right.
And therefore he's the Antichrist.
Well, yeah.
I read Luther saying that.
Yes, and he is a form of an Antichrist, the Pope.
He's not the Antichrist.
No, right. But my whole point in saying all this is now you have Reformed people who are holding on to a Catholic doctrine that was in response to them. And then if you differ with them, they say, well, I hold to Reformed tradition. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we reform beyond Catholicism? Shouldn't we go back to Scripture and believe the promises that are found there?
Remember that CD I gave you to listen to in your truck?
Yes.
By John MacArthur?
It was very well done.
Why every self-respecting Reformed person should be a premillennialist?
That's a great title, too.
John MacArthur?
Right. Well done. Yes, well done.
Well, that was good. Okay, and that's what we're going to do. We believe that the Scripture does teach there's a millennium.
Amen, exactly right.
And it's described in the Old Testament, predicted in the New.
And that's being Reformed to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, compared to Rome.
Right, amen,
okay,
that's exactly
so
right.
It says here in Galatians 5:10, I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. I would say, I think if we can agree on the five solas,
yes,
and practice that, we should end up with a high degree of unity.
Amen.
That's exactly why we use Philippians 1:27 every radio show.
That's right.
We're not trying to direct unity. We're trying to arrive at it.
Yes. You know, Bob, and let me just say things to the listener just about myself as far as being wrong in the past. I've had a lot of views that didn't line up with Scripture in the past, and I've had to change them over the years. But the attitude I think we should have is to say, look, I believe this is what the Scripture says, but if someone else has better data, better reading, and they bring us to the original understanding of what the original audience would have understood from the author, we now are in contact with the inspired meaning of Scripture from the author of Scripture, then we have to change our views.
And we have to learn, and we have to acknowledge that some passages are difficult.
Yes, exactly.
I'm dealing with one Sunday, the last two verses in the Christ hymn.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And I've got the Greek, and I'm thankful that we have access to some of the finest scholars who honor the five solas.
Right.
And dig into that and lay out what the different views are and come to the best conclusion possible.
Right, right.
That points us to Christ. And I think I've got a PowerPoint, so hopefully I have a sermon for Sunday. But
that's great.
The passages last week were really exciting. Yes. I preached on Christ.
Oh, that was wonderful.
And who's sovereign over all things.
Yes, yes.
And who's the creator and sustainer of the universe. What a blessing and privilege to preach Christ.
Amen.
Well, I have a couple difficult passages, but I have to knuckle under and learn those and apply them in a biblical way. And that's just what we need to do.
Amen.
And may the Lord help us to not be hypocrites in regard to the solas.
That's right. That's
right. That we really do care.
Yeah.
And we do our best. Yeah. And that I think we're on solid ground if we continue to preach Christ.
Amen, amen.
I'm really excited about evangelism.
Yes.
And the preaching of the law and the gospel, particularly preaching Christ, which Paul called preaching the gospel in a synonymous way.
Yeah, yeah.
In Philippians. And so here in Galatians 5:10, Paul's confidence was based on the fact that he had preached Christ to them.
Right.
They had believed.
Yes.
And that these were people who gathered together under the means of grace.
Right.
Because of a work of grace that God did.
Right. And you know, I love the fact that Paul is confident that they will adopt no other view, because Paul, at the end of the day, can be confident that Christ's elect, those who really belong to Christ, will end up persevering. And we know that, for instance, when he writes in Romans 8:30, he says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined. For those whom he predestined, he called. For those he called, he justified. For those that he justified, he also then glorified. And so Paul understands that the elect will heed these warnings. They will persevere and go to the gospel because they belong to Christ, and Christ has promised that he will guard his sheep. In fact, we had talked about this past weekend, a prayer that Jesus had prayed on our behalf in John 17:15, where he said, Lord, keep them from the evil one.
Yeah, amen.
And God answers that
prayer.
God
will answer the prayer of our high priest who intercedes for us continually.
Amen.
Paul's confident that they'll take no other view, that they won't become legalists. Mm. They won't submit to these people, these false teaching. And then he says, the one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Mm. This is implied eschatological penalty.
Wow. Wow. Wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
Galatians 5:10. Well, we don't want to do that. We should examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Objectively to see if we're in the faith.
Right.
Am I more motivated to preach Christ?
Yes.
That's a sola, Christ alone.
Yeah.
Or to find people that I have to demand be some other way. And I can't stand the idea that they're not exactly the way I am.
Wow.
And I have to pound on them.
Right.
Wait a second. What's going on here? Isn't that what was going on in Galatia?
That's right.
Okay, they weren't satisfied. Whoever these people were, let's assume they themselves were circumcised.
Yep, yep.
Okay. They may still have been keeping the food laws, which they were at liberty to do if they made no religious claims about it.
Sure.
Isn't that right?
That's exactly right, yeah. It's not
okay. In fact, in Acts 15, they eventually even accommodated them and said, well, don't eat things strangled.
Right, yeah.
This will be just too much for our Jewish brethren.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, they were free.
Yeah.
Okay, they're circumcised. They, I don't know when they gathered, but let's say they're gathering on Sabbath.
Right.
They're free to do that.
Yeah.
They're free to eat what they desire to eat, and if it happens to be Jewish,
yeah,
kosher food, that's what they eat. They're free to do that.
But they're not content. But,
so here's the thing. This is what we've got to answer.
Yeah.
And there's where we need to examine ourselves. Why can't I rejoice in my freedom? Why do I have to find somebody to subjugate?
Yeah.
What is it about me that I have to subjugate others,
right,
in matters where I have my own freedom and nobody's taking anything away from me?
Wow. Yeah.
If you look at this, you see here something working.
Yeah.
Sin.
Yeah.
The leaven. It's not from God.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what we've read here. This persuasion, yeah, is not from the one who called you. This is not from God.
Right. And you know what's interesting is these who are claiming that circumcision is necessary and trying to put these Galatian Christians under bondage, they're also not being genuine. They're lying. Because here in verse 11, he goes on to say, but I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Isn't that evidence that the opponents more than likely were putting forward an argument that Paul had indeed preached circumcision? Is that how you understand that passage?
Well, I see, they wanted him to.
Oh, okay. Is that how you understand
it? They couldn't stand his preaching of liberty.
Sure, sure.
Remember, if you read earlier in Galatians,
yeah,
we find out there was an issue about Titus.
Yep, yep.
And Paul wouldn't put up with the demand that Titus be circumcised.
Right, right.
Okay. And he saw it as a matter of liberty.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So no to Titus. Well, he's not preaching circumcision or he wouldn't tolerate Titus.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, obviously.
Right.
They are.
Right. But do you... But
they're saying, no, Titus is unacceptable.
Help me understand verse 11. He says, but I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why... Am, yeah, I still persecuted?
The implication was if he were preaching it,
yeah,
he wouldn't be under all this Jewish persecution.
Right, right.
And so you read Acts, and we've referred to this before. Maybe our listeners want to read Acts. Read chapters 15 through 21.
Yeah, that's a good
section.
Can you
see the outcome of these things?
Right.
The Jerusalem Council, and then when he arrives in Jerusalem in Acts 21. And as we mentioned before, there were thousands of Christians who were believers,
right,
but were zealous for the law of Moses, who had heard that Paul was telling Jews not to keep the law of Moses.
Right.
And they were outraged, and they wanted to punish him.
Right.
And Paul, they told him, take a vow, do these things, you know, let's stave this off.
Yeah.
The good believers there, James and the others.
Right.
So he did it. It did no good.
Right, that's right.
They started a riot.
Right.
The Christians.
The Christians did. Yeah, the believers.
Christians. Okay, so if Paul were preaching circumcision everywhere he went,
he wouldn't be...
They wouldn't have this problem.
Exactly. Now, okay, do you think that there were these Judaizers, do you think that they were putting forward an argument that Paul had preached that, even though he obviously never did? That was one of the conjectures that I had.
I don't know. All I can say is that he's making an argument.
Yeah.
And if, as is not the case.
Right, right.
Right?
Right, yes.
If, as is not the case, then I wouldn't be persecuted if you just put it into logical form.
So it'd be a second-class conditional, assume not true for the sake of argument.
Yeah,
and it's obviously
not
true.
He is persecuted.
Right, right.
And he says if he preached that, the fence of the cross would be abolished.
Right, wow.
And so this is a gospel issue. By preaching the cross,
yes,
he offended everyone.
Wow.
Look at 1 Corinthians 1. He offended the Jew and the Gentile. If he preached circumcision, at least the Jews would be happy,
yeah,
with
exactly
it. Okay.
Right.
They were instigators of most of the persecution described in Acts.
Right.
So circumcision is like a, how would you say it, a symbolic issue that was important, but it signified everything else.
Right. So
the, in other words, if you accept this, then all the rest of the law of Moses follows.
Right, right.
The food laws, the Sabbath keeping, anything else that we could add.
It's a watershed
issue. Yeah, and so you, this was the issue.
Wow.
Okay, so if you said no to this, then they're going to say you're a lawbreaker.
Wow.
And we're going to have your hide.
You know, Bob, as we're wrapping up here, I just thank God that Paul was used to stand here against this. And I want to just have the listener think about how difficult this would have been. He had to oppose another apostle, Peter himself, back in Galatians 2.
Well, and Peter knew better and actually had been the first one to break down the barrier.
Yeah, exactly. And he repented, obviously.
And he repented, and he was a spokesperson in Acts 15.
Amen.
If you haven't done it lately, go read Acts 15.
Yes, yeah, the Jerusalem Council is essential.
See how they settle the issue.
Yeah.
And it's still true today.
Yep.
And God breaks down the dividing wall, according to Ephesians 2, to make one new man.
Right.
Okay? The walls are and barriers are down. Christ's call to people to come and find Sabbath rest stands. Yeah,
that's right.
If we don't come to Christ, it's because we're disobeying the gospel.
Right.
And we prefer darkness to light.
Yeah.
And we prefer the dominion of Satan to God.
Yeah.
And that guilt is on our own heads.
Mm. Wow.
But if we preach circumcision, or as Paul said,
We won't be persecuted.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're okay now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't even have to admit that we're under the dominion of Satan, although Jesus said that.
Yeah.
Paul said, he's the one who told Paul that.
Bob, let me ask you this. You know, you've been a pastor for 40 years, and I know firsthand that you've done these things, but let me just ask, you know, you've had to contend for the faith quite often. And, you know, what's interesting is one day I was on a walk, and we live right next to a Catholic church.
Oh, yeah.
And I told my wife, we were going through a tough situation at our old church. There was some division over important doctrinal issues. And I was walking by the Catholic church, and I said, you know, what's interesting is those priests that go in there, they never have this because it's all settled. It's all false, but it's all settled, and no one challenges.
They just need to go through the motions.
Yes, yes. But when we're standing for the truth, it's a messy and often difficult issue, isn't it?
Yeah, once you start standing for the gospel, when they use all hell breaks loose, I don't want to use that in a vulgar way.
No, I know what you mean, right, right.
Literally, the forces of hell
break
loose because they attack the gospel.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And Paul makes a very literal point. You quit preaching the gospel and start preaching works.
Right.
You have the persuasion.
Right.
It's what everybody says.
And the reason I mention this, I want to close with this, is just for the listener, if you're contending for the faith and you're just trying to stand for the gospel, and you say, you know what, boy, life has certainly become more difficult, that's the way it is. That's just the way it is when you're a gospeler.
That's what Paul's saying here.
Yeah.
I have in my notes one last point here.
Yeah.
The cross causes a scandal because it declares all works to fail.
Wow.
And refutes the idea of human ability.
Okay. Wow. That's
beautiful. It offends everybody.
It does. Yes.
God did what we couldn't do, sending his own son.
Mm.
Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God.
Yeah.
If we stand on that and preach that and are fervent about it and believe it with all of our hearts, all the stuff that could come up, all right, why aren't you keeping Sabbath or whatever it is?
Sure.
We have Christ and the gospel.
Amen.
With that, we can have true Sabbath rest.
Amen.
And we don't have to be tormented by people who can't stand it. They will, but we don't have to listen to them.
Right. Wow. A very fitting end for this radio program. Thank you, Bob. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. It was a pleasure again discussing these great doctrines, Bob, and thank you for all the hard work that you've put in Galatians.
And thank you as well.
Well, we want to remind all of you out there to be about Philippians 1:27, where Paul admonished the believers to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.